Ram Hare Hare Gopremanande Hari Hari Bo. So we found yet another excuse to come together to hear and chant. And unfortunately, our time's almost over. It feels like that, doesn't it? It's so nice to be with the devotees. I mean, it's really the world, this material world is called Durga. Durgachati means it's difficult to go. It's difficult to go anywhere, isn't it? You go to the airport, you got to bring all kinds of identification. They don't let you bring certain things on the plane. I mean, going around different countries, you have to fill in certain applications. Can we close the doors? I can't see the devotees because of the glare. And no crying in the classroom. So it's difficult to go. It's also difficult to stay. You can't stay. You can't go. Durgachati. Durga. So when we're able to come together in a group for Sankirtan, Samyak Kirtan, means the complete glorification of the Lord in all times, in all places, in all circumstances. But doing it together, that's powerful. I learned from Balabhadra Prabhu, from Iskalp. He told me that one ox is worth one ox in power. Another ox is worth one ox power. But when you yoke the two oxes together, it's equal to seven ox power. What? Seven ox power from two. Synergy. One herb, powerful. Another herb, powerful. Mix the two herbs together. Thank you. Synergy. And Sankirtan is all about coming together and the power of what's in the other devotees' hearts and singing the holy names together. It gives us, it lifts us beyond our own capabilities. Today, I mustn't linger because we have a few things we have to cover. I promised to talk about book distribution today. So, one Sri Ishapanishad sold. Is that a telephone? Okay, so the rule is that if your cell phone goes off in the class, then it's a $5 fine, but you get a Sri Ishapanishad. Actually, today I'll give you a Bhagavad Gita. If your cell, well, we'll make it $10 then. So if your cell phone goes off in the class, does everyone agree? If everyone agrees, raise your hand. Okay. It's all fair. Who's going to be the collector? What's your name? Rupanuga Krishna, stand up so everyone can see the collector. Turn around. Okay, he'll collect your $10 if your phone goes off, okay? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Price went up because we have Gitas today. So we're going to talk about book distribution today. I want to show you a simple way to present a Bhagavad Gita so that you'll feel confident when you leave here that you can take a Bhagavad Gita with you. And present it to anyone in a reasonable way so that they'll be interested in it. It'll catch their interest, and then they'll just buy it from you. So we'll do that in the latter portion, which we're coming close to now. And that's going to require some logistical maneuvering, and that's partly a test of how much we can organize and develop a Sankirtan team. Because as most of you know who have seen some of the Sankirtan courses, one of the rules or laws of book distribution is you must organize. So we're going to test that organizational skills when the time comes, because we're going to put all the chairs away in the back of the room, stacked neatly back there. And then we're going to all stand up in the temple room in several lines facing each other. That's coming up. And then I'm going to have you go through a few repetitions of how to present a Bhagavad Gita to someone else. Have any? Yes. Do you want to tell your experience from last time and any result? Kubla took the course in Vrindavan last year, actually. Here.
There it is.
Okay, good.
I had the great pleasure of taking the course in Vrindavan during Kartik, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. And First of all, just to note that by one may endeavor to be famous in different ways, but by distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, it's the fastest way to become famous, because somehow after that seminar, I became very famous all throughout Vrindavan as an expert book distributor, even though I think I only sold one Bhagavad Gita, but because it was discussed in the program, somehow all over the world people were listening to the program, and I got comments from all over the place. So it was just... So take note, this is, I think, all over the world being projected. So, I have grown up in the Krishna consciousness movement and somehow had a lingering and continuous fear of distributing Srila Prabhupada's books and going out and perhaps being told no or like that, and didn't know where to start with inviting people to take one of Srila Prabhupada's books. And... by taking this seminar, though I cannot boast to distribute very many books since, the fear of doing that has gone away. And I saw that there are some very easy, natural, and easy to engage methods to actually scientifically present Srila Prabhupada's books, and that made it immensely helpful for that process. And I had gone on to distribute books a little bit in India since then. I didn't use the same system, but the fear factor had gone, and I felt at ease to share Srila Prabhupada's wisdom, which has so powerfully impacted my life, with others. So,
let's hear for Kubla. Hari Gaur. Okay, we'll come to that section, but please repeat after me. Book distribution is fun and easy. One more time. There you have it. Okay. So, yesterday we talked about weakness of heart. And we talked about ways to overcome weakness of heart. And then I mentioned that today I'd talk a little bit about Namabhas. Abhas means a dim reflection, or it means a limited amount of light. Light that's being filtered, and you're not getting the full effect of the light. This is Abhas. It's kind of like when the sun's rising in the morning and you don't see the sun yet, you just see the little bit of a glow. One time I went into the woods. I needed some stress relief, so I went by myself camping. And I went into the woods and I put up a tent and I just stayed out there for a few days. And one thing I noticed was very, very early in the morning, the birds woke up and they started singing. And I'd get out of my tent and I'd look and I'd say, what are you talking about? There's nothing. I don't see anything. I couldn't see a change, but they could feel it, that the light was changing somehow. They're so perceptive because they live outdoors. I'm probably conditioned because of electric lights and things. And then about an hour later, I could perceive it myself. And then everyone woke up. Everything came alive. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that when the light of knowledge comes into our life, then our pathway becomes clear. We know what to do. Everything that seems scary in the middle of the night, now is we become clear about what's where to step, and all those things that were fearsome are no longer so. So when the holy name comes into our life, in the beginning it's called Namabhas, because in chanting there are several things that block the full power of the holy name. And these are compared by Thakur Haridas in the Harinam Chintamani to be like mist and clouds. So he says these mist and clouds are due to two things. One is ignorance. And Srila Prabhupada spoke about that this morning in his class. Avidya, ignorance. So ignorance of what? Ignorance of, first, the power of the holy name. What is the holy name? Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Bhinadvam Nama Namino. It's Chintamani. Whatever it touches, it transforms. And it's Krishna himself. It's a person. The holy name. and completely pure, always liberated. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, full of rasa. All taste is there in the holy name. It's only because of my disadvantaged way of looking at things, and because I'm blocked by ignorance, I don't know how powerful the name is. How is the temperature in here? Are you all right? You're okay, okay. That I don't feel the full effect of the holy name. So there's ignorance of the name. There's also ignorance of the soul, of who I am. There's also ignorance of the nature of this world in general. So there are several kinds of ignorance. And then there are anartas that block our progress. One of them we mentioned yesterday, which is weakness of heart. And do you remember what's included in weakness of heart? There's envy within the heart. This is Yadubar Prabhu said yesterday, seems to be an all-pervasive feature of the material world. Envy is all-pervading here. Envy is one part. What was another? Deceit. Yeah, a cheating propensity within the heart. This is a weakness of heart. Anything else? Ignorance. Yeah, okay. Huh? Illusion. Yes. Specifically, weakness of heart had to do with being attached to trifling things in this world, deceit within the heart, and envy. And then there are anartas, which come in the form of offenses to the holy name. Offenses to Vaishnavas, offenses to other living entities, and offenses to Krishna, especially in deity worship. Different kinds of aparads. So these are like mist and fog that block the power of the holy name. So it's very difficult for us to feel the full effect. So sometimes we'll hear that devotees have been chanting for some time, either a short time or for a long period of time, and then say, I'm not feeling the effect. Have you ever heard anybody saying that? Or they vote with their feet and they walk away from the process. You know, that proves it, because everyone's looking for happiness. And if someone's getting happiness in chanting the holy name, then they'll continue. And steadiness is actually a sign of taste. If someone has taste, they'll be steady. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said something very astounding in regards to Namabhas. And he said, anyone who understands what Namabhas is will attain the perfection in chanting. And the simple thing is this. This is what got me excited about talking about Namabhas. And I'll just tell you the very essential part. And that is, despite the fact that there are obstacles to chanting, there are different kinds of illusion, and there are aparads. Despite the fact, the power of the holy name still comes through. I alluded to this yesterday by saying that, well, I was in Rath Yatra at San Francisco last year. It was cloudy, and I got a sunburn, because the rays still come through from the sun. So similarly, in Namabhas chanting, it doesn't matter that your vision is partially blocked, because the rays still come through. The only thing that completely blocks the rays or refracts them in such a way that we don't get the full effect is Mayavad philosophy. And that is thinking that I am Krishna, or having some purpose in chanting that I'm going to become Krishna. This idea of Mayavad, Thakur Haridas says, blocks the holy name. So there are different kinds of abhas that he mentions. Some kinds of abhas are when somebody chants the name coincidentally. They didn't mean to say the name of the Lord, but they say it anyway. An example of that is Ajamil. Ajamil named his son Narayan. And therefore he was saying Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. And because of that, when death came, when the Yamadutas came to take him away, he panicked and he called for his son. And his son was named Narayan. And he thought of Narayan when he said the name of his son. And so he got this Abhas effect. And that saved him. Then the Vishnu Dutas came in. This is one kind of Abhas. indirect chanting, you still get the effect. Sometimes other people say the name just out of humor. People say things all the time, Hare Krishna. Like, yes, last night, Brigupati Prabhu took me up to this park on the top of the hill. And there was a bunch of people up there having a huge party. So as we were walking away, many people started yelling out Hare Krishna, sort of in a joking way. Hare Krishna. They get the effect of chanting Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada said, when someone would walk through the airport and see us and think, oh, there's that rascal Krishna man, that because they thought the name Krishna, they got the effect. In San Francisco, after a Rath Yatra, there were two articles in newspapers. One was a glowing article saying how wonderful the festival was, but it didn't mention Krishna's name. And the other article was a scathing article saying that the devotees were no good and we were going to ruin the world, but it said Hare Krishna throughout the article. When Prabhupada compared the two, he said, this one's the better. Because they said Hare Krishna so many times. If someone says the name and the syllables just happen to match up, like sometimes it's mentioned in Shastra that a Muslim, when he was being attacked, would say haram, haram. And when he says haram, because he's saying the syllables, haram, he also gets the benefit of Namabhas. And Shishupal, he's noted as an example of getting Namabhas from chanting out of derision. Did you know Shishupal, when he was just a baby, you know, babies, when they just learn to talk, everyone's listening carefully. And they, come on, come on, say something, you know, nah, 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 they're about to say. And so Shishupal, when he finally said something, his first words, they were out of derision for Krishna. He was blaspheming Krishna in his first baby talk words. And throughout his life, that's all he did. He just said bad things about Krishna. He got the Namabhas. So Thakur Haridas says, all these things, they're at the lower end of Namabhas. You still get benefit. The person still gets the rays of the holy name, even though they're saying it like that. Then he says, there's a different kind of Namabhas, that it's at the high end of Namabhas. And it's called Shraddha Namabhas. You know this word Shraddha? Shraddha. What do we translate generally as? Faith. The word Shrad means heart, and Dha is an active verb. It means where you place something. So Shraddha really means where you place your heart. Everyone places their heart somewhere, right? You look around and you'll see where people place their heart. I saw someone had a society for taking care of border collies. And other people, everyone has some cause. They put their heart into it. Krishna talks about this in the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that faith is there everywhere. Everyone has some faith. And they put it out to the world. That's where they put their heart. So, Shraddha Shabde Vishras Kahi Suridha Nishchoy. Krishna Bhakti Koilik Sarva Karma Krita Hoy. When someone has faith in Krishna and Krishna's name, this is called Shraddha Namabhas. Even if I'm covered with faults and the mist and fog of ignorance, if I have some faith in chanting that this is the correct process, that Krishna is in his name, and I chant in that strain, we need a chair for Nisringananda Prabhu. Please take care of him. Do you need a chair too? Okay. And there's more seats up front. If you chant with faith in the holy name, Shraddha Namabhas, Thakur Haridas told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will definitely come to the perfect stage. This is the part that really caught my attention. Because oftentimes it feels like it's a long time. Rupa Goswami says this to encourage us in the Nectar of Instructions. Set Krishna Nama Charitari Sitapta Vidya Pitopa Tapta Rasanasya Narochikanu Kintvavarad Anudilam Kalusai Vajusta Svadvikramad Pavati Tadgaramulahantri. That when you have a disease like jaundice and you taste something sweet like sugarcane juice that is meant to cure the jaundice, it tastes bitter. So similarly, the holy name of Krishna is sweet. And when I'm diseased, when my tongue is diseased with avidya, it's covered by the mist and clouds, I can't taste the full sweetness. I can barely taste any sweetness. But if I'm chanting with some faith, with some shraddha, I'm putting my heart into it that this is the correct process, just doing that means you will get the full effect of Namabhas and it will bring you to the perfect stage of chanting Hare Krishna. That's the essential message. And if you look at how powerful the holy name is, and actually the Krishna consciousness movement is based on chanting Hare Krishna. The holy name is our center point for advancement in our personal lives and for spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. The power is in the holy name. Prabhupada went to Thompson Square Park and chanted. And he said, I didn't go there to attract a crowd. I went there to glorify Krishna. So when he sat down and he chanted, Krishna's radiating potency from the holy name arranged everything. Nam nam akari bahuda nija sarva shaktis. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, all of Krishna's power, all of his potencies, his personal shakti is there within his name. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. So, when we chant the holy name, we should think that this is the source of all my advancement, this association with Krishna. And if I chant with faith, this is called Shraddha Namabhas. And we will very quickly make advancement chanting with that enthusiasm, knowing that the potency of the holy name is coming through even the clouds. That's really the central point that I wanted to put across, because as soon as I heard that, When I read that in the Harinam Chintamani, I became especially enlivened about it. Last night, Bhrigupati Prabhu mentioned to me, just in passing when we were driving along, that hearing that about getting a sunburn on a cloudy day in San Francisco last year during Rath Yatra, said, right, Bhrigupati? You want to say it for yourself? It was encouraging to know that that potency of the holy name is coming through. Okay, so just a couple minutes for reflections. Any one thing that you heard so far that stuck in your mind? And where's the microphone, by the way? Okay, we got to move it around fast. So who would like to give a reflection so far? Yes. Wait for the mic. Oh. Yes. 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 Thank you. Another reflection? Anything you've heard so far? Yes. Bhumi's over here. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah, in the mic. Can we have a techie, please? Okay. Here, right over here, please. Give him the mic. Speak up. Sometimes a king that's very wealthy gets intoxicated.
Hare Krishna.
He goes into his safe and he gets his most valuable jewels.
Hare Krishna.
And because he's intoxicated, not thinking straight,
he starts
And he starts taking them out and distributing them, and he runs after them.
And even if they don't want them.
Even if they don't want them.
He goes tapping on their car window.
He goes tapping on their car window.
You take these valuable jewels. And so when we get intoxicated with love of Krishna and develop nambas, then we want to be just like that king and distribute them to everyone freely.
Thank you. Nice reflection. One more in the back. Two more in the back.
Well, I really liked what you said about Shraddha. It's where we place our heart. There's so many things, you know, so many distractions in the material world, and the heart is the seat of all creativity and intention. So it's just a matter of bringing it back and placing our heart in the holy name.
Thank you. Behind you.
There's a spaceship orbiting around the Earth, and there are scientists living in that space shuttle, and they are collecting memorabilia from the moon, stones, rocks, and they're throwing out more spaceships going to different close by planets, and it costs millions of dollars. But way the more further it goes, the more expensive the memorabilia is. So further than the walls of the universe is the Brahma Jyoti, and beyond that wall is the spiritual world. And if you want to get the memorabilia, the holy names comes in its original form, straight down here to its original form. And it's given freely.
Thank you.
Harinam ki
jai. Was one more? Okay. Okay, Mata has it. Jagannanani's in the back. She had her hand up. Microphone. Quick with the microphone. First bring it up here. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Krishna. And tell your name. Everyone should tell their name so everyone knows each other.
I'm Sujata.
Sujata ki?
I was hearing about Navavasa and the name and vibrations, and it happened automatically. My heart opened up. I was listening about Chaitanya Prabhu, and it started coming out the love or the craving for the Lord, and that was all the devotees are singing, and I couldn't stop and I couldn't control, and that is the power of Nam. That's what I got here.
You see what happens when we do this stuff? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. In the back, all the way in the back, Jagannanani. Krishna, Krishna.
I was appreciating how you were saying when Srila Prabhupada heard the two newspaper articles, and how one was favorable and one was not, but the one that spoke saying Hare Krishna so many times, Prabhupada said was the best.
Hmm.
And I was appreciating how Prabhupada has that vision.
Yes. Thank you very much. And so one of my goal, simple goal, was that everyone remember Shraddha Namabhas and chant with faith and concentration. We just have to remember what it is, how important it is, that everything comes from the holy names. You don't have to go anywhere else. You don't have to do anything else. You just have to chant with full faith in the holy name and arrange your life so that you can chant the holy name with your friends, with by yourself. You can chant and concentrate fully and cry out. And also, here's another point. So if you walk out of this seminar and anybody asks you, what was it about? If you remember this one other point, then I'll be satisfied. And that is, you gotta beg. Now, yesterday we sang a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and we sang a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur after And we sang a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur at the beginning, too. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur is like the power station putting down this bhakti into the world for us. So we sing his songs. And at the end of the song, which we call Jeev Jago, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says something that is the essential part of chanting the holy name. And that is that if you want the holy name, you have to beg for it. You have to beg. And I thought about this a lot. I always give something to somebody who keeps begging me. Unless they're, you know, I really don't like what they're doing. And I know what they're going to do with it. But if they keep asking me over and over and over again, eventually I just give it to them. Or sometimes if in a different mood, I just give it to them anyway. I mean, if it's a devotee and they ask, I'll just, you know, if someone says, can I have this? I'll just say, well, of course. And I'll give them whatever it is. And isn't it wherever you go when people ask you things? Don't you eventually give it to them? And beggars, they know that. So they'll follow you around and they'll keep asking you. Until finally you just say, here, take it. Take something. So if we beg for the holy name, I mean, Prahlad Maharaj says in his prayers that Krishna is a desire tree, a kalpavriksha. And a kalpavriksha tree doesn't consider who's the lower and who's the higher that's asking something. It's the fault of the beggar that the desire tree, yet if you walk up to a desire tree and you say, please let a hammer fall upon my head. Whose fault is it? Is it the desire tree that the hammer fell on your head? No, it's out of ignorance. I asked for the wrong thing. So knowledge means to know what to beg for. We should beg for the holy name. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling us that. Beg for the holy name and ask for. Purification of heart. Prahlad Maharaj says this in one of his prayers. When Nrisingadev says, take a benediction. And Prahlad says, I'm not a vanik. I'm not a merchant. I don't want anything for my service. I'm your servant. You're my master. That's just the way it is. Service for service. And Nrisingadev said, take something. I'm Bhagavan. I give. Take. He asked for his father to be saved. They're already saved. 21 generations are already saved. Okay, here's what I asked for, Prahlad Maharaj said. That from within the core of my heart, there be no material desire. That's something to beg for. A person who has no material desire within their heart is free. They're free. What binds me to this material world is my desire for something. Therefore, Queen Kunti says, Janmaishvaya Shruta Shibir Edamana Madapuman Naiva Hat Yadidatum Vai Twam Akinchana Gocharam. She tells who can really beg. Who can really beg? And so when you look at them, you know they're really begging and they're not faking it. You know, some of the beggars, they're actually really rich, but you look at them and go, you got more than I do. And you're begging. But who can really beg? The person who's really destitute and they know it. And you see them. In India, I see a lot of fakers. You know, especially Purushottam Mas and Kartik, they come out and they stage something, you know, like they're really hurt or something. And you're not so inclined, but when somebody's really destitute. So Queen Kunti says, you have to be a kinchan. So kinchan means something. And akinchan means not something. I don't have anything. I don't have the smallest little thing. And if I chant with that feeling that I don't have anything, I'm completely bereft. And then I chant, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare. Srila Prabhupada says, then Krishna really listens to that person. But the fact is, I don't have anything. It's an illusion to think that I actually have something. And this, Queen Kunti says, is a kind of intoxication. That I imagine that I have some wealth, I have some beauty. All these things are fleeting. They're all passing. They have nothing to do with me. They're a part of the dream of the material world that I've imagined. So this one thing, beg for the holy name and ask Krishna for all kinds of things, advancement in devotional service, empowerment to do your service, the ability to appreciate other devotees, to have full gratitude. Yesterday, we heard someone was saying that it was Yadubar Prabhu, told me that during one of the japa retreats, it came into his mind some great appreciation for a devotee. And he became overwhelmed with it, and then he began chanting with great... You want to tell about it? There's Yadubar right here. Please bring him the mic. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, the it was between Japa Retreat 1 and 2. I was at both of them in New York. And it was like any other day, we come into the temple and we sit down, we chant our japa. So I was doing that, and it just happened very, very quickly. Very quickly a thought came into my mind about appreciating a certain devotee. And just instantly my japa just, you know, like a window opened, kind of. And it was a taste like I haven't had for a long, long time. And that went on for some time, so... I think Krishna was teaching me to appreciate devotees more by that experience. Hare Krishna.
I think that was another a main theme of our discussions in the last couple of days is appreciation. And the more you appreciate devotees, the more your heart opens and you become free, actually, because envy or that feeling that you wish other people wouldn't advance... Because then you don't have to. That's a kind of envy. And the open-heartedness that I have when I see others advancing or successful that really appreciates and I'm happy for them, that allows me to actually share those same qualities that the devotee has. That's what we brought up yesterday. But it's worth repeating because it's such a main theme. So appreciation we have Shraddhanama Bhas, we have begging, that's another thing. And trust Krishna, surrender to Krishna. That's a perennial theme, but it's worth revisiting every couple of seconds. Because it's a dynamic thing, surrender to Krishna. It means all the time, decide to surrender to Krishna. I have a story about one day I was at my house in Burlingame, and I was in the backyard, and it was summertime, and all the windows were open. And I saw a bird fly in the house, and that's not good. Bird in the house, no. So I came in to see what I could do about the situation, and I came into the kitchen, first room he was in, and I said, okay, I'm going to get you out of here, don't panic. And he looked at me as I was opening the windows, and he said, you're trying to kill me. And he flew into the next room, and I went into the next room and I said, I'm not trying to kill you. I'm trying to save you. You're my friend. I love you. You know, you can come out. And I started open the windows, and he looked at me with his eyes, and he said, you're really trying to kill me. You're following me everywhere I go. So he went into the living room. Windows open, next room, same thing. All the way around the whole house, we were doing this dance of I'm trying to kill him, but I'm trying to save him. Finally, he got back to the kitchen and figured out how to get out the window. And right after that, I had this profound thought. At least it was profound to me, that it was kind of a reflection on myself when I was looking at that bird. And I was thinking how Krishna is opening windows for me all the time. He's trying to get me out of this material world. He says, Sarvadharman Parityajana, and go, no, you're trying to kill me. You can't take away all these things. You're after me. Why are you following me around? And I thought, you know, he's my well-wisher. He wants me. And if I cultivate that, remember that if I surrender to Krishna, then I'm free. I'm free to serve. And that surrender, that's all the all-important thing. That's what devotional service, surrender to Krishna. Just surrender to Krishna. Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam braja hum tam sarva papibhyo moksha ishami masuchaha. So those four things, there may be more, but those are four that I can remember right now, right? What were they? Beg, Shradanamabhas, which means remember that the rays are coming through, the radiation, you can't see it. So keep chanting. And in fact, this is what Shastra says. Even if you're offensive, sometimes devotees say, you know, I'm a heroin addict, I can't keep chanting Hare Krishna. But Shastra says, Nama parada yuktanam, namam yeda, namam yeva harantyagam, avishrani prayuktani, namam yeva harantyagam. You have to keep chanting. And if you do, the namabhas will have its effect. If you continuously chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, without stoppage. So that's a second thing. What was the third thing we got? Huh? What is it? Trust Krishna? Appreciate. Thank you. Appreciation. Yeah. So appreciation, that's one of the word for this weekend, right? And wasn't there a fourth one? Okay, surrender. That works all the time. Is that okay? That's something, right? Not nothing. You want your money back? Okay. Lalita, yes. Microphone, quick, to Lalita. She's right in the middle. And it better work.
Yesterday, you said VLC, which was very powerful to us. Voluntary life changes.
Right. VLCs, voluntary life changes.
Yes.
Yeah. So you can decide things in your life and make voluntary changes rather than being dragged down into them, right? Thank you for reminding us. Yes.
When you were talking about appreciation, one lecture Prabhupada says that appreciation is a Vaikuntha consciousness.
Appreciation is Vaikuntha consciousness.
The more we appreciate, the more we are realizing Vaikuntha consciousness. And opposite is envy. And then Prabhupada gives an example that this material world is so envious that even Kansa is trying to kill his own sister. So the more we appreciate other devotees constantly, that we're approaching Vaikuntha consciousness.
Nice. Yes, Archana City.
Just a little addendum to the appreciation, where you say that if we appreciate, we get the qualities of the person that we're appreciating. The opposite is true. When we criticize, we also take on the qualities of the criticism that we're giving out.
Yeah, Mahaprabhu compared that to poison when you criticize. And the antidote to poison is appreciation and glorification. Nice. Okay, that's something. And now we're shifting gears. Although it's a good analogy, too, because now we're taking all this and we're transferring it into what we call abhideya, or the action phase. And that is Sankirtan, book distribution, is a way to actively express all these things. Sharing, appreciation, and it's a way to test them all, too. Because when I'm inside these four walls, it's one thing. When I go outside, and there are varieties of people that I get to meet, then I'll be tested. We have a missing bag. It's a black bag. A Jagannath picture on the front of the bag. Keys, money, driver's license, etc. Please return to Krishna Das or any temple authority. What is it? Oh, well, I'd like to hear it. Share it with the whole class now. A white silk chadar. We're taking this time for station identification. Any other advertisements? Huh? Okay. Okay, so book distribution. You know, it's fun and easy. Please repeat. Book distribution is fun and easy. And I'll just tell you a couple stories to get us warmed up, because these just recently happened. We've been going door to door like crazy. We're like crazy people up in San Jose. Now that we've discovered door-to-door Sankirtan, everyone's addicted to it. We can't stop. You want to know how we do it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you. So here's how the devotees do door-to-door book distribution in the Bay Area. Everywhere where there's civilization, people live in little houses and stuff. You know, they need shelter over their heads. So you know where they are, right? Okay, so there's houses and there's apartments. Apartments are easier for door-to-door because everyone's stacked right next to each other. And the other thing is, now with the internet, you can figure out where all these people are. You just go on rent.com, and then you can find out where all the big apartment complexes are. Can somebody close that door? I can't see. then you can call up and you can ask them if it's a security apartment. Because if it's a non-security apartment, you can just walk right in and make friends with everybody. And if it's a security apartment, then you can still get in. It's, I'll tell you how. But and it's really funny, too. But but it's we start with the ones that are non-security. So what we do, we go with a group of devotees and a bunch of books. And then we have one person who organizes the whole thing. And that person has gone ahead, actually, to the apartment complex. And they go in and they say they're thinking about renting there. And they get all the maps of the place so they know what it, what the layout is. You know where all the apartments are. So then, you know, like if there's 500 apartments, we'll go in with 20 devotees. And the person who's the organizer will appoint each one of the groups. And we go in groups to certain apartment complexes, and then they'll go together and knock on doors and meet people. And people are so happy to see us. And I'll tell you my technique. Here's my main technique for door-to-door. You know when you're going home to meet your family for, like, Thanksgiving or something like that, and, you know, you've flown across the country, and you're really eager to see them, hopefully? Or, you know, you're going to see the devotees, and you're going to have prasadam, and, you know, Bhumi made samosas, and, you know, you're going over, you know, having prasadam with devotees. It's the nice thing, you know, right? So that's what I think of when I knock on someone's door. I build this up in my mind and my heart. I think behind that door are my best friends, and I'm going there to meet them. And so I knock on the door, and I'm just meditating that my best friends behind that door. And as soon as they open the door, I release all that energy. They open the door and they say, "Hi!" And they look at me and they don't know what to say. Except they're overwhelmed. And you know, my friend Satyadev Prabhu used to work as a paramedic for 20 years. And he told me that 911 calls used to come in all the time from people who were dying of loneliness. Really, they were dying of loneliness. And you know what? Everyone's dying of loneliness. That's what the material world is. It's a lonely place. That's why when the sun goes down, everyone goes to sleep. You can't take it anymore. The main representative in this world of Krishna is the sun. And when Krishna is gone, everyone just says, forget it. Actually, even doctors and scientists don't know what sleep is. Did you know that? Sleep scientists can't figure out what it is. It's because Krishna is gone. So people are suffering out of separation for Krishna. And when you bring them around door to door and you offer people prasadam and books and a smile and happiness, then their life changes. I'll tell you how when I was with Deepak, a very tall, good-looking young man from India. And we were going around together door to door in this apartment place. And so we had, there was four apartments on one side, and then one of them, no one was home. So we were just walking down the stairs, and we saw the person who lived there coming up the stairs with groceries. He was a guy about 35 years old, armful of groceries. So he went up the stairs, passed us. We turned around and started walking behind him. And he knew we were behind him. So he got to his door, and he was opening it with the key, and there were some kids inside. And so he turned around, and he said, he saw us behind him with books, and he could figure it out because he's a living entity and he's smart. And he said, "I don't want anything you're selling." And I said, "Great, lucky thing, because we're not selling anything." And I just walked towards him and I started showing him. And at the end of the conversation, he ended up writing a check for $20 and bringing it out. And he was very happy to have the Bhagavad Gita. And another day, it wasn't the same day, but last year, in December, we were going door to door, and I met this young Muslim guy, and he was very open-minded. He was studying the Quran and very interested in spiritual knowledge. So he accepted the Bhagavad Gita, and he said, "I'll give a donation. I'll see what I have." So he came out with about $2.35 change. Plus, he gave me a Quran, and he gave me a book about the Quran, and he gave me four sodas. for each one of the devotees. It was out of his heart. He wanted to give something back, so he gave a soda to each one of the devotees. So he took all this stuff, gave him Bhagavad Gita and everything like that. And about a half an hour later, I was walking across the parking lot of the apartment complex, and I saw this man, so I went over to him and I said, "Hi, do you live around here? Do you live in the apartment?" He said, "Yes," and I said, "Oh, great, I'll show you one of these." And I showed him a Bhagavad Gita. He said, "Sorry, I'm not interested. I'm a Muslim." So I said, "Here, take a look at this." And I pulled out the Quran and I handed him that. And he said, "I'm a Muslim. What do I need a Quran for?" And he gave that back too. I said, "Yeah, but you haven't seen this." And I took out the book about the Quran and I gave him that. And he gave a donation. And then I gave him Bhagavad Gita, and I said, "You might as well add this to your library. You know, take that with you." You just never know what's going to happen. When people open the doors, sometimes people will invite you in. They'll say, "Please come in right away. They want to hear. They're very interested." And I've had people, one man, we show the books. We say, books on yoga and meditation shows you how to get free from stress. So I knocked on the door, and this guy, young man, probably 28 years old, it took him a while to get to the door. I could tell he was in there, but he opened the door. He had a cast on his leg, and he had crutches. So I said, "Books on yoga meditation shows you got free from stress. You've heard of stress before, right?" And as soon as I said that, he broke into tears. He just started crying like anything. He said, Stress, I'll tell you about stress. I just broke my leg yesterday. And my wife 2 days ago left me and took the kids, and my company fired me last month, and they wouldn't give me my back pay, and I'm suing them." He had three things. His wife left him, took the kids, he broke his leg yesterday, and his company didn't pay him. And there he is inside this little apartment. And Prabhupada wrote in his bhajan, he wrote this poem when he was in India, when he was in Vrindavan, sitting in Radha Damodar temple. He wrote, "Everyone's in their homes, looking down the lane, wondering, when are Nitai and Gauranga going to come and save me?" That's what Prabhupada said. And he always said, "Go door to door and meet these people and give them an opportunity." There's no more fun in the world than going door to door. It's just so much fun. And I'll tell you how to get in. This happens many times, but I was in Toronto, and we went to this apartment building. It was such a windy day, people couldn't even stand up on the street, and it was raining really hard, and we went to this apartment building. It was a 12-story building, and we got there, and it was the only place around, and we didn't want to drive anywhere else, but it was a security building. You know the kind? You have to push the button to get in. So everyone said, "What are we going to do now?" Nobody was coming in and out. It was a rainy day. So I looked down the list of names, and I saw one that was a Vietnamese name. And I just know a few words in Vietnamese. So push the buzzer. Someone said something. I said, "Chao Ngam An Joy." And we went in. So you innovate. You know, you think there's always a way somewhere to come in. And we went. We started at the top of the building that day. And for about 3 hours, we covered every single apartment. And everyone was home because it was such a stormy day. Everyone was home. We covered every apartment except for one, and that was the manager downstairs. We just skipped around that one. But, you know, when we came out, you feel like you've done something because the book's inside. It goes in. And you've had the pleasure of meeting people. You also, there's a sense of how the modes are acting, too. Some of the people came to their door, and there's little kids standing next to them, and they're smoking a cigarette inside the apartment with kids. Or animals, or birds, and things like that inside, and they're smoking. I mean, the kinds of varieties of the modalities, you see them for yourself, and you'll experience it. Okay, so those are a few stories, and now I'm going to tell you some easy techniques that you can use for book distribution. And Prabhupada said that the Bhagavad Gita, all of our books, you can sell them on their own merit. You don't need to make up anything else. Everything's there complete, right within the book itself. I'll show you a quick PowerPoint about that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama. Okay. There's sufficient merit in all of these books. You can sell them. Because everything you need to know and show is on the book itself, on the front, on the back, in the middle. And right now I'll just tell you a simple thing, that on the back cover, there are quotations from Thoreau, Emerson, and Gandhi. And in America, some people don't know who Thoreau and Emerson are. But they know who Gandhi is, because the movie was such a big success in America. And he's famous. But other people have heard of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And they've heard of Einstein for sure. So I always add them into also, those other two names. And this is on the back cover. And then on the inside cover, right here, you'll find that USC has written something about this version of the Bhagavad Gita, and also Georgetown University. They're at the bottom of each one of the list of universities. That's something else that I show people as soon as I show them the Bhagavad Gita. The back cover and right on the inside. So in the back, Gandhi, Thoreau, Emerson, who else? Einstein and Martin Luther King Jr. That covers a wide spectrum of interest for people. So those names you can add. And then right inside their universities, that adds credibility to the book for people. So then the next thing that's really important are the pictures. Prabhupada once told Pushkar, the famous ISKCON artist, that the artists are the best book distributors, because they made these beautiful pictures. And when people see these pictures, they become attracted to the book and they want one. Now, practically, that's all you need. That's how simple it is. If you show them the back and the universities and the pictures and close the deal, and then that's it. So those three things. Back, right behind the front cover, and the pictures. Didn't I say book distribution was easy? And it's also fun, too. Fun and easy. So those three things you're going to be doing today in just a few minutes. Those are three things I want you to remember to show. Okay, now, name dropping, that's the back. So name dropping is important. What are some other names you can drop about these books, about Prabhupada's books that popular? George Harrison is another big one. Who else? Okay, you want to give Chant and Be Happy as a bonus. Okay. Other names? Thoreau's on the back cover. Thomas Merton's on the inside. Socrates. It's fine with me. Okay, so here you see it. Thoreau, Emerson, Einstein, Gandhi, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Those names really do it. And then there's Georgetown University, USC. For me, those are the most well-known universities. So I mention them. I show them to people inside. Have you heard of USC? Yes. Have you heard of Georgetown University? Yes. If they haven't, it's okay. Now, the first picture I show people is this one, changing bodies, and I say, look at this. You start here, and we end up here. We're all just passing through. So say that. We start here. We end up here. We're all just passing through. We start here. We end up here. We're all just passing through. We start here. We end up here. We're all just passing through. We start here. We end up there. We're all just passing through. Now turn to the person next to you and say that. Go ahead, quick though. Somebody. Okay, now the next thing, I show them the picture and I say, where are you in all this? I ask them where they are. And they look at that and they'll say, oh, I'm about right here. or I'm over here. And then sometimes they're friends. A friend will say, no, you're over here. And but one thing, it gets people involved. They look at it and they see, you know, where am I on this? And they get involved with it. And we may see this all the time. So we may take it for granted. I may take it for granted for seeing it so many times. But other people, believe me, when they see this, it's a shock, actually. Sometimes people stare at it for a while, but it really catches their attention. So use this picture. That's the first starting thing. Okay, and you have a mantra to go with it. And by the way, everything I'm telling you today, you can just innovate on your own whenever you want, but this just gives you a basic starting point, okay? Another thing, we're just passing through. And then this is a picture I show people, and I say, look, here's a self-realized person. Self-realized person treats everyone with respect because he or she sees that God's in everyone's heart. A self-realized person treats everyone with respect because he or she sees that God's in everyone's heart. Very popular thing. You know, because everyone realizes that the world's in a mess because people don't have this vision. And when you point it out to people, 90% of the people just say, yeah, that's good. We need more people like you in the world. Really? Okay. We don't have it in here. Oh, here it is. Karma. Next one I turn to is karma. And I'll ask him, before I turn to this picture, I'll say, you've heard of karma before, right? Say that. And what do they say? And then I'll say, what does it mean to you? And so tell me what it means to you. What does karma mean? She said, whatever goes around comes around. Now, here's my reaction. I lean back on my back foot and I say, wow, that's really a good way to put it. And it doesn't matter what they said. But whatever they say, what goes around comes around is the most common thing. But I'll lean back and I'll just say, that's a really good way to put it. And then I show them the picture. And I say, see, here's an example. Man with a cow's head and a cow with a man's head. And violence breeds violence and generosity breeds generosity. I say like that. Now I ask, now here comes the humor. And I say, what kind of work do you do? Anybody here work? Or are you all retired now? You work? What kind of work do you do? What kind of engineer? Electrical engineer? This guy used to be an electrical engineer. Anybody else here work? You know, what kind of work do you do? Huh? Hospice social worker. This guy used to be a hospice social worker. Yeah, so 50% of the time, as soon as I say it, they'll laugh like that. And the other 50% of the time, they'll go, really? And I say, no, not really. And then they laugh. But it's actually really funny. And then as soon as they're laughing, that's when I ask them for a donation. Because their heart's open and everything's flowing. And asking for a donation, this is one of the most fascinating parts of the whole process. And I had a realization about this. You know, there's all kinds of ways to sell things and distribute books, and there are ways that you can actually be so, you know, skillful and tricky that practically the person has to give a donation. Well, I learned some of those ways, and I actually observed it, that I knew the person, you know, something about the way I was presenting, they just ended up giving a donation because they felt like they had to. And then I heard about this devotee in Russia. I haven't met him yet, but I heard some years ago he would release people completely from the obligation to give, and then he'd tell them to give a donation, but he'd say, whether you give or don't give, I'm still giving you the book anyway, and he'd really mean it. And he said he doubled his results. So I started doing that too, and I learned something about free will that was really interesting to me. And that is when people are completely released from the responsibility or from the trickiness of my presentation, where I know they have to give, even though I know they might not want to, and they do it on their own, the result is exponentially more powerful. because they decided to do it. I released them, and they decided to do it. And a lot of times, they give five times as much, just because they're so overwhelmed with the feeling of wanting to do it. It's amazing. It's amazing. So I tell people about donations so we just ask for a donation for the book. A lot of times I'll ask them how much they think it would be in a store if it was for sale. And then they'll say an amount, and I'll say, we don't sell it, we just ask for a donation. And then I say, but I don't need the money. The only reason I ask is because when you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, you get 1,000 times the benefit. It's called Sukriti. You get the spiritual power to be able to read and understand the book. I say, I have no motive for the money. It's only for you. And when you give something, you complete the circle. And you get the benefit. And I'm not saying that as a trick. I really mean it. I had a couple standing on a street corner, and they were saying, we need this last $5 for such and such, this and that. And we're really broke, and we can't afford to even give a penny. Because I said, just give one penny, because you'll still get the benefit. And then the guy said, I can't even give a penny because we're so broke. And I say, you want to know how to become unbroke? I say, you give in charity. It's the reverse of what you're thinking. And I started telling him, I said, do you know where good fortune comes from? I said, it doesn't come from working harder, because sometimes people work 2-3 jobs and they still don't get ahead. And other people, automatically, it just comes to them. So the guy's listening and the woman's thinking, let's get out of here. And so finally the guy goes, I believe in that. And he starts reaching in his wallet for the money. She goes, what are you talking about? And he really believed it, because I believed it. I was telling him I didn't have any motivation, and he took out the money and, you know, he gave a donation for the book. And what an experience, you know, because you actually tell them the philosophy. So presenting the books on their merit means just go out there and present it and teach them what's in the books for your own purification. Nisringananda Prabhu. We need a microphone back there fast. Where's the mic? Well done. So, actually, okay, Bali, and then we have to move on because we have to all stand up and we're going to try this presentation that I'm going to show you. Hare Krishna.
Yes.
There, it does work.
Yeah, actually, just I'm from Silicon Valley, same Sanoji Temple, and we are very fortunate to have Vaisheshika Prabhuji there. The only thing I wanted to say that two, three things. One is even my five-year-old kid, he can go and distribute Bhagavad Gita, because it's a power. We are guarding it. People are warm up, and we take with the family. Everybody goes door to door, and not only they like it. Even though I call it, do you like? He said, no, I love it. So that's the way the motivation is there, and by spontaneous way they have been going distribution and all. That is, Prabhuji has been mentioning. That's the one I wanted to say. Hare Krishna. And
yes.
The last thing is, if you even though go as a team or you share each other that what realization, even though sometimes people say, we got chastisement for 15 minutes, some devotees say when you go to neighborhood, but they listen to them and it got a good feedback to the other team members, and that's why it grows.
Thank you, Bali. Hare Krishna. We actually have to move on because we have to. We're going to stand up and I'm going to show you an exercise with the books. Kubala? Okay, so here's what we have to do. Now, this is the first test of our organizing abilities as a team here. We're going to stand up and fold up the chair that you're on or next to. And put it in the... We have to stack them in the back. So I think one person should stand in the back on the left and help organize getting them stacked, and everyone else can put them over there. And see if you can do it within 2 minutes. On your mark, get set, go. One more minute. Hare Krishna. Oh, thank you.
What does that mean, that Vietnamese phrase that you said in the door?
It's a greeting. It's like hello.
Greeting.
Yeah, like, yeah, just a greeting. Simple.
Wow.
50 seconds. Yes. 45 seconds. Oh, good. It's beautiful. 15 seconds. Manmohini, can you organize everyone in two lines facing each other? Or if, whatever you can do. We want people, we want everyone teamed up facing each other. Do whatever you have to do, but do it quickly. Hare Krishna. Bhumi? Can you help Manmohini get everyone lined up, please? Whatever way you decide. Facing each other. Yeah. How many ever you need. If you can hear me, please raise your hand. Doesn't matter. Yeah. Pair up. If you can hear me, raise your hand. 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 Thank you. Okay, so we need two lines. And what we need is to have everyone paired up across from someone. One person in the pair has a book and the other doesn't. And it should be all on the same side, the ones that have the book. So everyone find a partner. One partner should have a book and the other doesn't need to have a book. Raise your hand when you're ready. When you're paired up, raise your hand if you're ready.
Hare Bol, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. All right. Are you ready? I'm not convinced. Are you ready? All right, here we go. So this is practice. And once you get these few basic ideas down, then you can go out anywhere and present Bhagavad Gita. So the first thing is, Gadadhar, you come over and help me.
whatever you need down, and I need your two free hands, so you'll be an example. So, first of all, I'm going to teach you about mystic power. Every living entity has mystic power. Mosquitoes have it, especially, and elephants have it. Everyone has it. So where's your mystic power especially come from? It comes from your hand. Put up your hand, right from the palm of your hand, right here, in the middle of your palm. This is where your mystic power emanates. And you can use this. This is your technique for finding out who you're talking to before you talk to them. Isn't that mystic power? Yeah, okay. So in the palm of your hand, right here, there's a beam of powerful mystic energy that emanates. And you're going to use this wherever you go to find out if the person you're about to approach with a book is a ripe fruit. And a ripe fruit means somebody who's ready to pick from the vine and bring back to Krishna. And if they're not ripe, what do you do? Come on. You leave them on the vine. Let Krishna cook them. And you don't have to cook them. You don't have to make fruits ripe. You just have to find the ripe fruits. That's all you're cooking. Okay, so now, hold up your hand like this, and there's a mantra that activates it. Are you ready? Get ready to say it. Say it after me. Point it at somebody. Ready? Say, hi.
Hi.
Powerful, huh? So when you point that, you'll see the reaction on their face will tell you whether they're ripe fruit or not ripe fruit. If they smile, they're ripe fruit. If they look away or they don't look at you, you'll know. Go to the next person, okay? Now the next thing you want to say is, books on yoga and meditation shows you how to get free from stress. Say, books on... books on yoga and meditation shows you how to get free from stress. Okay, so when you say that, you put it in their hands like this. Books on yoga. Hi. Are you from Los Angeles? Okay, listen. Wait, just listen one repetition. I'm going to show you the whole thing because we're getting kicked out of here in 5 minutes. Are you ready? Okay, I'm going to do the repetition because we're going to expedite this. Hi.
Hi.
Don't repeat, just listen. Are you from Los Angeles? Great. I'll show you one too. Say show.
Show.
Always say show.
Show.
Okay. I'll show you one too. See how his hands came out? That's what happens. The hands grab things. So you hold out the book. When you hold an object, the hands will go for it. Okay. So books on yoga and meditation shows you how to get free from stress. Okay. You can repeat. Very good. Okay. Now, I'm going to show them a little bit about the book. Oh, first of all, I'll say, you've heard of stress before, right? Let's hear his answer. Say? He said yes. And then I say, really? Because you don't look very stressed to me. Your eyes look very spiritual. What's your secret? Okay, so try that. Go ahead and try that one time. You say, please go ahead. Okay. Now, okay, everybody, if you can hear me, raise your hand. 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 The beauty in that is the eyes are the window to the soul. When you see someone's eyes, you can actually feel something for them, for their soul. So this is not a false compliment. It keeps you connected spiritually all day. When you're looking at people and you say, your eyes are very spiritual. They are. They really are when you look at people's eyes. And then you ask them this one question, what's your secret? That brings them in the loop. That makes them part of the whole process. They know this book. They're part of what you're doing already. When you ask them that question, you say, what's your secret? And they'll tell you something. They'll say, well, you know, I work out. And I said, I knew it. Or they'll say, you know, I got a pet rabbit. And, you know, we talk. And I say, I knew you were into this. I knew you were into this. Here, I'll show you. So it's a feeling of, I knew you were into this. And then I take the book back out of their hand. I put it in their hands so they feel it, so they have possession. They've touched the Bhagavad Gita. Now I take it back and I say, here, I'll show you really quick. Say that. I'll show you really quick. Everyone wants things really quick, right? Pizza and copies and everything. This is simple, but really quick. So I'm going to show you really quick. Now, what do I show them? Three things only, right?
Yes.
First thing is what? Look at Henry David Thoreau, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Mahatma Gandhi, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and Albert Einstein. I said five names, just throw them out there. Okay? Okay, wait 1 second. I'll get to the next stage, and then I'm going to turn you loose on each other. And then, okay, listen. If you can hear me, raise your hand. If you can hear me, raise your hand. Okay, next thing, I'm going to turn right to the next, to the page inside the first inside cover, and I say, these are used in major universities all over the world, and what do I have? USC and Georgetown. Show them those two things. Okay, now don't do it yet, because I'm keeping going a little bit further. Hold on. One more thing. Because I'm going to... Next thing is, look it. Here it is in a nutshell. And what picture am I going to show them? Changing bodies. We all start here. We end up here. We're just passing through. Where are you in all this? So what I want you to do is do those three stages. Take the book back and say, I'm going to show you really quick. Show them the back cover. Show them the universities. And show them the picture of changing bodies. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes.
Go. Please do that. Want to take one with you and practice selling it today, you can take one of these Bhagavad Gitas and how much are they? Who's here? They're like $4.50, $5. And you can take it and practice on it today. So if you want to take one with you and go practice this. The last part of it is just to show them the picture of the ask them what kind of work they do. Show them karma and then show them the picture of the yogi with the soul coming out of his head. And ask them what kind of work they do, and then ask them for a donation. Simple thing. You can practice this. We've come to the end of our time. And the next group is coming in. So I thank everyone very much for coming to the seminar. If you want to take a Bhagavad Gita with you, you can give $5. And then you can just sell it for whatever. And if you don't want to, then bring the Bhagavad Gita back and we'll pack it back in. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Bhaktivrinda ki jai. Gopremanande Haribo.